Welcome to Real Estate Right Now. My name is Jay Izzo. We are live here from DraftKings Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Research Triangle Park. And today's show. You know, you probably own this house. You've had it maybe for years. What are you doing to it? Really? No. Seriously, have you given it a facelift internally? Right? Have you made it any improvements to it? Have you added value to it? Or maybe it's like, well, I think we want to stay, but I just don't like the way it looks. Well, what do you do? What's there some things you should do or can do? And you say, well, I got a budget. I don't know how much I could spend. You know what? We have all the answers for you here today. I am with Rhonda Benby Plummer, owner, CEO, founder, president.
Many hats.
Help Me Rhonda Interiors. And she joins us again. You've seen her here before on the show. And so welcome back, Rhonda.
Thank you. It's just a joy to be here. Right. I'm looking forward to this conversation because it's a very important one.
It is an important conversation. Mm-hmm. People, we have people in different stages of their home.
Right.
Right. Some people like their home, but they really want to improve it. Some people want to put their home on the market and they haven't improved it. Right. And you've seen this a lot.
This is why this conversation is going to happen today, mainly. I mean, you see it so much. I mean, you know, go in, a realtor, you know, might hire me to go in and just, I call it be the bad guy, mm-hmm. you know, kind of. And I go in, this house is 20 years old and they literally haven't even changed the carpet.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's a bad thing and they're wanting top dollar. They're not going to get top dollar. In this area, we have, you know, a lot of competition sure. between new and old. And the only way that you're going to compete with new is to keep up your house.
Right.
You know, I always say, put it in your budget. Your house budget not only is your house payment, mm-hmm. but it's also house improvements. Mm-hmm. Things don't last forever.
Right.
You've got to update things.
So let's talk about the seller who wants top dollar for their house, right? They want top, mm-hmm. but they haven't done anything in 15 years, mm-hmm. maybe 20.
I would say that the minimum to even think about getting the most for your money or even to compete mm-hmm. with what might be out there is carpet, possibly flooring. It depends on, I think, whether you have hardwood flooring or carpet, right? But carpet for sure.
Okay.
Touch up painting, fresh painting, new lighting, maybe faucets, cabinet knobs, what I call the jewelry of the space, right? Just to up, you know, doorknobs, just updating those things to what is current versus what was 20 years ago can make things look like at least you've kept up your house a little bit. So you're competing a little less. The market is a little better for you, right?
So if you have shag carpet from the 70s, you probably
needs to go.
We probably should replace it, right?
Exactly.
And it's probably not all that shag anymore anyway.
Exactly. It's probably really matted down. Yeah, remember the raking?
It's almost Berber at this point, exactly. probably. Okay, so let's talk about though, you know, right now there, you know, we talk about paint.
Right.
Right. Carpet and let's talk about the colors.
Right.
So because it used to be in the old days, we used to tell everybody, neutralize it. Builder beige. That's what we used to say.
Right.
Is that so true anymore?
I think so. I mean, some people, some buyers can't see past paint. Plus, let's face it. Mm. I mean, paint has gone up in price a lot. It used to be like, oh, it's just paint. Mm. Well, that's not the case anymore, right? It's, you know, a good gallon of paint costs $60, right? You know, and labor has gone up. So it's not as cheap to paint as it used to be. So I'm like one of those designers also that believes that neutral colors are better anyway, you know, with a few pops of color here and there, just because you're able to change things out, you know, a little bit more, change your artwork, change all things. So if you stay neutral, you know, you might want to, a little girl might want a pink room or a little boy might want a blue room. That's fine. Right. But neutral to me is always better with pops of color here and there. Maybe you have like an accent wall with wallpaper, you know, or something like that. But keeping it neutral for selling is always a good idea because some people can't see past that.
Right. And I know that I've been in houses where they had, I don't know if it still exists, but they used to have these bright red dining rooms or the dark red dining rooms.
That's kind of out. Yeah. I mean, it's very, very out, you know, wallpaper's in, believe it or not. But to me, that's even risky because you're going to choose, you know, what you like, unless it's a very neutral, I would say like a grass cloth, you know, something with just texture, really pretty stays in style pretty much, you know, but you know, a big floral, you know, that only you like, you know, might not be a good choice.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now you said something else. You said doorknobs.
Doorknobs.
And okay. That seems like such a mundane, but evidently it's an important thing.
I walk into houses now and, you know, they still have the shiny brass doorknobs, you know, I mean, it's like they've even updated their house to some point, right? But they still got the shiny brass doorknobs that go with nothing at this point. Even the new golds today, folks, is brushed. It's not polished,
right?
You know, so updating doorknobs is so simple. You could just change the look of your house totally just by doing that. And it's a pretty easy thing. I can change a doorknob. I mean, it's pretty easy. I can change a hinge on the door to match your doorknobs. Is it time consuming? Yes. If you want to change your doorknobs, just call me and I will have my handyman come and change your doorknobs because it's not that big of a deal.
Well,
you know?
Here's the other thing I don't think people think about. And because doorknobs do sound like this kind of a funny thing, but what is the first thing as a buyer you touch when you walk to the house?
The very first thing you see.
It's a, you put your hand on the doorknob.
Right. And when people come to look at your house, they're not seeing what's right. They're calculating what's wrong.
Right.
What do I have to do when if I choose this house?
Right.
Am I going to move into this house? And I think that that's kind of what you have to see. What's the most noticeable things in your house? Your paint's the most noticeable.
Right.
Your lighting is very noticeable.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that, yeah.
Right, lighting is a huge thing. You know, the doorknobs, you're going to notice them right away.
Yeah.
And the nasty carpet that's got the black rim around.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah, it's going to, you're going to notice it.
Are you pointing off the carpet in the studio here? Maybe
it
needs to be changed.
It's like it needs to come off. You don't have it here. I wouldn't allow that. Was Linda right?
No, you wouldn't allow
Linda
that.
Linda wouldn't allow it.
Linda wouldn't allow it either.
But it's so easy to do these little updates. Even if you have to hire somebody to change the doorknobs or change the light or the plumbing fixture, it's still part of the upkeep of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it to keep up. So then when you are ready to sell your house, you're not so upset that you've got to put thousands and thousands of dollars into a house that you're not even going to get to enjoy.
Right.
And that's the way you have to look at it. I'm enjoying it. Right. My husband and I, we redid a 1974 brick ranch house, right? We just redid it. We moved in 2020. I'm already doing some updates.
Right.
You know, just keeping it fresh.
Right.
So that when we do get ready to sell it, it's up to date.
Right.
Right. An appraiser knows. And I've had somebody to say that to me too. I'm going to put all this money into this house and it's not going to up the value. That's not correct. A good appraiser knows, you know, that you have updated those things. They look at it. They stay current. They know.
Right.
Like when we got our house reappraised after we had done all of our things, it was just so you know, it was a 1974 brick ranch that had never been touched.
Oh, boy.
Ever. Right. It still had everything original 1974. Right.
Brutal.
And so when our appraiser came, you know, to do that, she was like, I'm going to have to start over. I need to do your house as a new house. Everything is in here is new. She had already kind of done some pre-looking, thinking that it was a 1974 house.
Right.
So our house was appraised as new, even though it was 1974.
Right.
So they know.
Right.
They know. So it's worth it.
So I want to talk about lighting because, you know, you did some work in our house.
Yes.
And
a lot of work.
A lot of work
yeah.
You did in our house. It doesn't even look like the same house.
No, it doesn't.
It looks so different. But lighting was a big deal. Because it wasn't just a matter of getting more light. There was a style.
Yes.
And both of those things are important, I believe, because it does give a signature to the house, the lighting does, because it did brighten it up, but also the style of it.
The style of it. Yes, it's so different. And scale is very important. I don't know if you've gone into, you know, the builder basic houses, you know, that are going up left and right here, and they go in and they put like this little, you know, island light that, you know, is big over a 10-foot island.
Right.
Right. That's a scale problem. And so it doesn't look good.
Right.
You know, so most of the time when it comes to lighting, what people are getting wrong is the style and the size. The size really, really does matter. And, you know, lights need to complement each other, but not match. You know, so a lot of people that do it themselves, they're like, okay, we're going to put the same light in the same family over the nook and on the island. Mm-hmm. That's boring. You know, that is, you know, not giving a style to anything. That would be like me putting on matching necklace, matching earrings. Mm-hmm. You know, that didn't give it any personality whatsoever. Right. It's just kind of generic, right? So when you're picking lighting, you want to pick lightings that go together, but don't necessarily match. Same thing with end tables in a house, or, you know, have you ever been to somebody's house, the end tables match, the coffee table match?
Yes.
No. You know,
no, we don't
it
want
gives
that.
No personality. Look in any magazine.
So symmetry.
And it will not be there.
So symmetry is not necessarily, well, I don't know if it's symmetry, but I guess sameness is just not as important now.
It's more about, you know, different textures, different, you know, colors of woods and different materials that make things come together a whole lot better. Look at any good magazine, whether it was 1950 or 2023, and look at the rooms, you know, that are showcased in magazines, home magazines. I guarantee you, you're really not going to find like a coffee table that matches the end table. They're all going to be different. They kind of go together. The only exception to that would be like if you have end tables flanking a sofa or something.
Sure.
They're usually match,
right?
But, you know, like all the little side tables are not going to be in the same family as those end tables. That doesn't give personality. Mm-hmm. You know, when you do a house, you think of it the same way as getting dressed. You know, you wouldn't put on a black suit, a black tie, black shirt, black pants. I mean,
maybe I would.
You know, you add personality.
I would be told, why are you doing that?
Exactly.
But I might do
exactly.
It.
Yeah. But you know, I think about the lighting in your house.
Right.
Distinct style. But your house was a very distinct style.
Right.
And so the lighting matches that style.
Yeah, it did.
And it all coordinates, but there's not any two alike. Right. And so that's the thing that makes a good space is that you're mixing the different personalities of different fixtures.
Yeah. I think there's things that you want to do with lighting, and I don't want to get too stuck here, but I was thinking about what you did in our house, and the lighting was also functional.
Right.
Because it brightened up the space.
Right. Right.
Because it would be very easy because we had limited windows where we were at in the kitchen area. Had very limited ways, and we were able to create brightness and light in there and yet have style.
Right.
And size.
Yeah. When I'm looking at lighting, I definitely keep that in mind. You know, so is it going to be enough lighting, you know, to light the space?
Right.
You know, let's there again talk about, you know, the little bitty island light. That's giving you no light. It's like one little bulb,
right?
And I don't know how many of you have been out and tried to figure out LED lights. But it is almost like you got to have a degree these days in lighting. So I made sure that I've done my research. I talked to my electrician. I learned a whole lot about, you know, the difference in the temperatures of the LEDs, the lumens that they put out. So when I'm picking lighting for clients, I'm taking that into account. So we make sure that it lights up the space. If you think about like your beautiful ceiling fan in your house.
Yes, that big beautiful.
Right. It's beautiful. It's huge and it's big, but it's also got good lumens to it.
Right,
it's
it does.
Got good light to it.
It really does.
You know, so all of those things, we're you know, not in the incandescent world any longer where it's just 60 watt bulb.
Right.
You know, it's all about the temperature, which is the kelvins of the bulb, and then the lumens, which is how much light they're protruding, right? So 3,000 kelvins, that's the sweet spot. So all the lights in your house are 3,000 kelvins.
Okay.
So that means that it's almost like daylight. In other words, if you go under that 3,000, it starts to get yellow. Mm-hmm. If it's over 3,000, it starts to get blue. Now, why is that important when it comes to, you know, somebody looking at a house that they're going to buy? Lighting is everything. Nobody wants to be in a dark house.
Right.
Right. So what is the number one rule for the realtor? They cut on them. They get there early and they cut on all the lights, right? You know, because they want it to be light and bright. So if somebody has those yellow lights, it makes everything kind of look yucky. Fluorescent lights makes nothing or no one look good. You know, so fluorescent lights, you want to put them in the garage, that's fine. But they're not good anywhere else. There's too much improvement in lighting to even consider fluorescent lighting anymore. It just is bad light. Turns everything purple.
So, okay. So we have, let's say we have hardwood floors.
Right.
And they're a little dingy. I mean, you've seen it. You may have had them in your 1974 house.
They were really bad. Yeah. Right?
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they live in a house for a long period of time.
Right.
They don't think about refinishing the floors or redoing the floors. Is it an expense thing, but is it an expense that's worth doing?
Absolutely. You know, just like anything else, you have nice wood floors. They're going to wear over time. And the thing is, you know, the coating that's put on hardwood floors, the polyurethane, it wears. So if it's been a while, I just went into a house the other day. It's been a while there. I don't think their floors have ever been refinished, but like where they're at a lot in the kitchen, it's completely down to raw wood. Well, that's going to be a problem. Water is going to start. They're going to start, you know, popping up.
Bubbling up.
If things are going to happen with that, if you don't get, don't get that taken care of soon. So you have to think about those things. I think the biggest thing about hardwood floors for anybody is the refinishing process.
Yeah.
People are like, oh my gosh, it's like moving. And it is.
It is.
It's a messy, messy, messy thing. You know, so there are other options out there these days.
Well,
people love it.
You put LVP over the top of our hardwoods.
Exactly. So the LVP is, it is not, you know, 1970 vinyl.
Right.
This is a product that, you know, I've got some LVP that I actually sell that's more expensive than hardwoods.
Right.
I mean, it's like very, very nice stuff. It's waterproof. Mm-hmm. It has texture. It has personality. It's scratch, mold, mildew resistant. I mean, it's nice stuff. I put it in my own house. I did it because I have dogs.
Right.
You know, so I didn't want to have to deal. My dog would have ruined real hardwood floors in like one day in my house. You know, so I love the LVP, and a lot of people are using them. I'm just saying a lot. Well, and then there's no mess involved. It just goes, floats right over your hardwood floor.
Yeah.
It's easy peasy.
It really is. And the thing that made the house, because we had did it, and then we did it in our other house.
Right.
And the one thing that's beautiful about it is, you know, when you have a dishwasher, and you know, you open the dishwasher, and you don't think you spilled any water, but over the course of time, you start to see your hardwoods bubble up.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right where the dishwasher gathered or in front of the sink.
Right.
There's none of that with LVP.
Nothing.
And I'm not, and by the way, LVP is luxury vinyl plank.
Yes, luxury vinyl plank, for those
of you who are wondering. But the thing about it is that I love about it is so stain resistant. It's scratch resistant. I sometimes babysit a dog and I love Bo.
Right.
But Bo is a big dog.
Bo is a big dog.
And Bo, and you know, and they can scratch up a hardwood.
Right.
Pretty easily.
Exactly.
And it is just it's an amazing product.
It's amazing. And softer under the feet. I definitely, for my older clients, I always recommend it because it's just easier on the joints. Mm-hmm. It's just easier.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's just no mess involved. You literally lay some, even, you know, with hardwood floors, you got to hire movers. You got to move out all your furniture. You got to get a pod in your yard or put it all in your garage. I mean, it is really moving.
Well, and
with the LVP, you literally lay it, move the furniture out of the way, move it back, lay some more. I mean, it's easy, right? And so that's why a lot of people do it. I'm not saying it's cheaper. Now, you can get cheaper ones, and what you have to think about with the cheaper ones is they are a little, they'll scratch more.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably not quite as waterproof just because of the locking system.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure you're getting a high quality one, especially if you're in a higher priced home. and you're getting it, right? If you're, you know, an $800, $1 million house and you want to get LVP, I think it's fine. Some people might disagree with that, but you don't need to get the $2 a square foot, LVP. Right. You need to get the $10 a square foot LVP, which it's, I have people come into my house and literally touch it and go, is this hardwood or?
Yeah, it is. It's very cool.
It's amazing, really.
So let's move to people who've been in their house a long period. They're not interested in selling, but they've been in their house and they want to do something to give some life back to the house that they've been into. And let's say they're on a budget, right? So what are some of the budget considerations that they could do to like give their house a little bit of an interior facelift?
I think it depends on what's needed the most. Kitchens, bathrooms get you the most return for your money, you know, for sure. Does that mean you've got to gut the whole thing? Not necessarily. Let's just say in the kitchen, trends come and go when it comes to kitchen cabinets. I mean, they just come, go, right? Depending on how old your cabinets are, sometimes it might be worth painting them. Sometimes not. You might could just get brand new ones for what it would cost to paint them correctly. And painting cabinets correctly is the key word here. You just can't slap on paint on cabinets.
You can't buy a can of spray paint and think that's going to work.
It is going to peel off. I mean, it's a process. You know, it's like the people who redo mine, it's about a 5 or 6 step process to get them clean. You got to buff them, you got to sand them, you got to clean them, you got to put stuff on them, coat after coat after coat to get that right look, you know, where it don't peel off in a week. So it is a process. So it does cost. And then there are some great cabinets that you can get these days that are not great. You know, they're just not crazy expensive.
Right.
So sometimes there's not a lot of price difference between new cabinets and painting them, depending on the size of the kitchen. Also, you know, it could be, okay, the cabinets are great. Maybe they're really good quality to begin with. We're fine with what color they are or stain they are. You know, an easy facelift would be new countertops, new sink, new faucet, possibly some new lighting. I go into some of these old houses and they just don't have enough lighting for the space. You know, just adding, you know, 3 or 4 can lights could just transform the whole space lighting wise. I've been in houses before. I'm like, how do you even cook in here? It's so dark.
Much less read.
I know, it's just crazy. And so those little type of updates, and then it kind of starts you kind of get excited about it. It's just like, okay, that wasn't too bad. Maybe I can go and do the same thing in the bathrooms and kind of give some life to those. We also have a lot of people I'm getting calls on that are deciding to stay put and age in place. You know, so they're wanting to do things that widen the doors or put in a, you know, a zero entry shower, you know, or things like that. So all of that adds value to your house.
So let's talk about then, because you said that bathrooms and kitchens always give us the best return on money. And you talked about cabinetry. There's been some changes in trends in some of this because it used to be everything was white. I don't know if it still is. And then, you know, we used to have the knobs and now I'm hearing it's handles.
Pulls are definitely more prominent, especially, you know, the 30-ish year old people, 30s, 40s, they're liking more of the pulls. It used to be like it was kind of cool to mix them, you know, but a lot of people are liking the pulls, all pulls
so, now. So, this is so funny because I'm thinking about my mom's home, which was built in 1967, which has gone from, which was handles, you know, the
pulls,
pulls.
They're called pulls.
And I think they were brass or whatever, you know, they darkened, you know, bronze or whatever they were. And of course the cabinets are dark. So since 1967, they've come back.
Exactly.
Do we see that typically that trends do start to come back?
Trends do start to come back. I would say if I had to say anything about what trends are right now, I would say they're kind of all over the place. I think it's coming to what do you like? I definitely am one of those designers that I listen to the client and what they like. The worst thing that could ever happen to me is if I did a house to somebody and they hated it. In other words, I listen to the client. I design for the client, whether it's in trend or not in trend. And you're going to get a lot of that. If you're doing your job correctly, the thing is you want your client to be happy. I don't want anybody to ever walk into one of my houses and go, oh, Rhonda did this, because that means that I did it for what I liked and I didn't listen to the client.
Right.
So I would say I'm seeing cabinet trends being, they're still white, more of a creamy white. The cool grays have gone out. As a matter of fact, the cabinet line I carry got rid of their cool gray. Wow. It wasn't selling as much anymore. Their warm gray stayed, the cool gray went away. I would say some stains are coming back, especially those really light oak, like white oak. You know, not the yellowy, but more of that white color is very, very popular right now. Lighting the space up, and it goes beautifully with all the warm tones, like the warm grays and the warm beiges, you know, and stuff like that. So I would say they're kind of all over the place.
Okay.
If you have a cabinet that is stained in like a medium brown color, I just don't think it ever goes out of style. It's very classic. And you can switch that up so easily, like with hardware and new tile backsplash, new countertops, very easily.
We've done our time.
Oh, we're done?
Yeah, we've done.
That was great.
I know, it goes really, really fast.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. First of all, thank you for being here.
I loved it.
And tell people how they can get a hold of you.
So you can go to my website, which is helpmerondainteriors.com. Or you can call my shop at 919-263-9054. You can check me out on Instagram. I try to post there regularly.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, and it's Help Me Rhonda Interiors.
HelpMeRhondaInteriors.com. There it is. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us today. You know what? You had a lot of choices. You chose us, and we are really grateful that you did. For all of you watching on DBTV, thanks. Hey, it's Saturday morning. You're watching us out there. We appreciate you taking a look at us as well. As I say to you all over the world, you know what that is. You know what? Ciao, everybody.
Thank you.
Living if you're dreaming small.